Welcome to Come Alive, the Living Spiritfully Guide to Thriving, where we explore the 12 permaculture principles as accessible ways to living a joyful life. We are your hosts. I'm Paul Galoro.
And I'm Catherine Stilo. And today we're doing a bonus episode to wrap up our first season. Before we get into our wrap up, though, Paul, we always do our homework check-in. Yay. So how did we do? We had some homework episode 12, which was creatively use and respond to change. And the homework that we had was looking for changes. It could be as simple as the weather. And we talked about, you know, keeping track of the weather each day to tune into cycles and honoring kind of the changes that and what's going on around us. And we also had I loved the quotation, Nelly Furtado, "I live my life by the moon," linking to the moon and maybe having some sort of honoring of the where we are in the moon cycle, intention at new moon or recycle or give something away at full moon. How do we do?
Well, I didn't really pay attention to the weather. Like I noticed, okay, it's raining today, so I don't need to go, you know, put some water on the garden stuff. But what I have noticed is, so we're recording this, it's the end of July, and I'm starting to see some shifts. Like my tomatoes finally are turning like orange and then red. So I'm starting to see also all of my herbs are, because I haven't been, you know, popping them off as often, they've all now gone to seed. So I've been just watching how things, and it's interesting because I didn't think of this, and I don't know why I didn't think of this, but once we hit the summer solstice, now our days are getting shorter, right? We're moving, like the axis of the earth is moving away from the sun, in the Northern Hemisphere anyway. So I'm starting to see how that shifts. And it's only been like, what, 5 weeks since the summer solstice at this point. So it's really interesting how quickly I've seen that. And it's been a while since I've watched that, and I wasn't paying attention to that the last time I had my garden. So that was really fun. And for the moon thing, you know me, I'm always doing my moon thing. But this time I invited someone into my moon ritual, which was really nice. And I asked my neighbor to come over on the night of the full moon. So we moon bathed. So we basically sat there and just took it in, and we had a lovely conversation. And then we did a fire burning ceremony where we wrote some things down that we're ready to release and threw them into the fire. So that was really fun.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you? Because first of all, how's your weather board?
we keep updating it. And it's interesting because on it, we also have the sunrise and sunset. So we keep track of what time the sun is going to rise and set. So it's interesting that you mentioned the changing light, because we've really noticed that as well. And also because we're tracking it on that board, like how many minutes it changes each day in that shift. And then I did a moon bath as well. I moon bathed on the full moon. I sat and just let myself be showered by that moonlight. So it just felt so good. It's magic for me. Yeah. I just love feeling that energy of the moon.
Oh, I love that. You know, I forgot this. I'm going to share this with you now. I walked to, there's a part of the lake where I live that you go and you can watch the moon rise, and it is gorgeous. And so I went. And so at the time that this was happening, we had all of those wildfires happening in Northern Ontario. And so it was very hazy, but you know, as the moon is coming up on the horizon, it just looks massive. It was massive and red. And I was just like watching it in complete awe. It was gorgeous. And then the crazies came out. There, I had two interesting experiences with people that were were by the lake, that I was just like, I forgot full moons are times to watch out for the craziness. So that was funny. But listen, thrivers, Google when the moon rises and when the moon sets. And if you can find it on the horizon, watch it. It is just so gorgeous to watch it come up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just to add some texture about your comment, maybe for listeners who aren't as familiar with what happens at the full moon, because of the opposition and the pull of moon and sun, it can heighten and intensify emotion. Mm-hmm. And typically that brings up a lot of, I guess, intensity, and, you know, we call it craziness, but it's like, yeah.
Yeah. The way I sort of illustrate the energy of the moon is you think of a jar, and when the moon is new, the jar is empty. As the moon starts to increase its illumination, the jar fills. Once it gets to the top, once the jar is filled completely, full moon, it starts to overflow. And although the moon starts to shrink the second it is full, or the moment it is full, from that moment on, it starts to shrink. I think of it as like the overflow of the jar. And that's the time of gratitude, because it's abundance and also release. So that's kind of what we focus on. And that opposition thing, my neighbor is a retired police officer, and she was saying every full moon, they just knew.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's a thing.
Yeah. I've heard similar stories from like ER doctors and nurses and police officers and
good times. Love the moon. I love the moon. Great check-in. So let's get into this wrap-up episode. I'm excited because, of course, you've come equipped with an illustrative story, and I love this one. Let's hear it.
All right, we have a Zen tale, and this Zen tale is called The Monk and the Samurai. And there was a young samurai in search of a famous Zen teacher to help gain a better understanding of himself and the working of his mind and improve his fighting skills and live honorably. This was something that samurais did, seek out teachers. So after searching far and wide, the samurai finally located the Zen teacher deep in meditation, and the samurai burst in and said, "Teacher, teach me the ways of heaven and hell." And the Zen master looked at the samurai and started bursting out laughing. He said, "Look at you. You call yourself a samurai." He's like, "You've let yourself go. You can't even yield a sword. And you want to learn the ways of heaven and hell? Ha, what a joke." The samurai was embarrassed, and embarrassment turned to agitation, and agitation quickly turned into anger and then full-blown rage. The samurai's face turned red and his hand reached for his sword. Zen master or not, this man was going to pay for that insult. The samurai drew his sword and said, "I'm going to cut you down." And the Zen master turned to the samurai and said in a calm voice, "That is hell." And the samurai in that moment instantly recognized the error of his judgment and the wisdom and kindness in the Zen teacher's instruction. And the samurai had a complete change of heart. He fell to his knees in gratitude and appreciation. And the Zen teacher said, "And that's heaven."
Mm. Mm. I love that story. I can feel something bubble up inside of me listening to you share that. So that is beautiful. Thank you. We'll loop it back in a minute, but let's talk about our podcast, our little baby that we nurtured from a tiny, literally from nothing to something. Like it was not just a thought, but it was a thought that now is 12 episodes, a bunch of bonus episodes, because there's just so much content that we wanted to share with everyone. So how did we do?
So back when we started, this was a seed. This was a seed that we planted. And I think out of the invitation to do the heart to heart, we realized that we had planted so many seeds in the heart to heart that we wanted to expand on. And, you know, we talked about that follow-up episode and it was like, oh my gosh, there's just too many seeds. So, so it became, that's how it became a separate podcast. And I think looking back to what our intention was when we started, we were looking at the time that we're in, and sometimes it can feel seemingly overwhelmingly chaotic. Sometimes it can feel out of control. Sometimes the problems can seem too big for any one of us to really make a difference. And I think that when we started out, we hope to remind people that the power is within each of us to make change. That there's a quotation by Margaret Mead: "Never underestimate the power of a small group of committed people to change the world. In fact, it is the only thing that ever has." So it was really the power of the individual, the power to bring about change on a grand scale, lying within each of us and shifting inner world to change outer world, taking small steps by each of us to move the needle on this universal level.
Mm-hmm. You know, when I think about what I know we had a collective hope between the two of us of what this would do. But when I think about myself personally in collaborating with you on this and the work of editing it and sharing it, et cetera, I was really looking for a way to, and I don't really have language for this right now, so it's going to be a series of words that just tumble out of my mouth. But I had this, it was almost like, you know, when you're standing by the edge of a pool and you're looking at it and you're like, oh, cool, look, there's this refreshing water that I could be swimming in. And you're sort of just standing there looking. I felt that that was my relationship with nature at that time, or leading up to us then getting together and creating this podcast. And so, yes, or not only was I just standing on the ledge, maybe every now and then I would put one foot in or just a toe, just to tap it. But with this, I felt like it gave me the opportunity to step into the pool and to wade a little bit. Now there's a lot more I know within myself that I need to learn and experience to be splashing around and playing in that pool of that connection with nature. But it's fun to be here. And I have to say, if it wasn't for you, because I'm very much when it comes to, let's say, cooking, I follow the first time I do something, I follow a recipe to the T. And then, you know, as I do it more and more, then I get more comfortable and I make some changes. With your guidance, I've been feeling a little bit more comfortable enough to experiment out in my garden or with the nature around my home. And there are times where I make stuff up and then I share it with you and you're like, oh, you might want to reconsider that for these reasons, which is amazing. And that's why I'm so happy to be on this journey with you. But my hope was to find within me a way to deeply connect with nature more so than I already have. And I feel like I have it to a point where I'm comfortable to share this with others and invite them to do the same. Because for me, like I feel like I'm just a baby, you know, figuring this stuff out. And I'm looking to you as like my mentor of the earth to, you know, guide me and suggest things and all of that stuff. So I don't know if that answers the question that that we were talking about right now, but yeah, my hope was to just get more intimate with nature and to be able to share more of that with others. And I feel like we got that.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Anyway, so thank you. That's
so beautiful. And we're all figuring this out together, and together we're creating that community that's in touch with nature, and that's the closer that we can get back to nature is what is going to shift the paradigm. Mm-hmm. So the more of us that are doing it, the stronger it is, and the more of us that are doing it, the more there is a community to share, and we can support each other mm-hmm. in this growth. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
And where yeah. we say, you know, shifting the needle on a universal level with those small steps that we do, applying these principles, and my, you know, I love the first segment of every episode, and it's the second segment that for me brings the juice mm-hmm. into life. And following these principles, and I've shared this, talking about it, you know, my relationship with my father, relationship with family, friends, and just the world around me, applying these principles and making those small little shifts in my thinking has created such remarkable shifts in my life. And that to me is just the most wow. You
know? Yeah. Yeah. And in our episodes, this is what we've shown, is that these permaculture principles apply to growing food and setting up a system that mimics nature. And these principles apply to life, because like that story that we shared, the samurai and the Zen teacher, we hold within us the power to create heaven and hell. So if we have these permaculture principles as guidelines, as ways to help create heaven, then we can use those to see the harmonious connections, to see the relationships, to take these principles out of the garden, because permaculture and the permaculture principles, it's really a holistic system of design. Most commonly it's talked about in growing and creating systems that look like the natural world. It can be applied to everything: relationships, government, systems of finance, families, whatever we're looking at, these principles apply.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that, so in doing my study of permaculture, initially permaculture stood for permanent agriculture. But what's interesting is over the years, I guess, and I don't know, this is what I've surmised based on what I've read, but it seems like as it evolved, it took on, instead of permanent agriculture, permanent culture. Which again, when we apply these principles, as you just said, to outside the garden, to our world, the way we function, it can create a permanently harmonious culture that, you know, for me, permaculture is a way for every aspect of the system to thrive.
Yeah.
Why don't we do a quick little recap of the principles and maybe focus how those principles can be applied to relationships, so outside of the garden.
Yeah.
I'll start observe and interact. So for me personally, using this to watch my relationships with others and not reacting to things and just noticing, oh, when I'm in this conversation with someone, this is how it feels. And if I respond this way, this happens. And if I respond that way, that happens.
Yeah. And if we look at principle number two, catch and store energy, this one, we talk about harnessing passive solar, wind, and water. And it's also looking for ways to not to have to use energy or extra energy. And that applies not only to energy as we think about it in powering household appliances and lights and things like that, energy in our lives, where can we not have to expend as much energy or even eliminate the energy that we're expending.
Mm-hmm. And then there's obtain a yield. And, you know, I have to say there was moments where I kind of struggled with this because, you know, we talk about just making sure that whatever you're pouring your caught and stored energy into is giving you something in return. And like I said, having a moment with this in the beginning, I was almost like, oh, but am I going to go into relationships thinking, what am I going to get out of this? However, not so much, because I know for me, in my experience, whatever I pour into a relationship, I know is going to come back to me in some way, shape, or form. But this obtain a yield, just making sure that we are getting something back as we give.
And principle four is self-regulation and accept feedback. And this one is often one that is tough to come to terms with, because it's about being open and being ready to make changes and to really take what we saw in Observe and Interact and the listening and apply that to our lives to move forward.
Mm-hmm. Use and value renewables. And this one I love, because it really makes us focus on regeneration and not depleting. So when I look at that, just even in terms of the work that I do, making sure that, again, going back to obtaining a yield, that as I'm doing something, it is recharging me in the process as well.
Yeah. And produce no waste was number six. And this one gave a few chuckles. It's and it also makes us change our view of waste. Mm-hmm. And making sure that the outputs of our system find a home within it, but really shifting to see waste as a resource.
Mm-hmm. And then we stepped into the broader principles with principle number seven, design from patterns to details. That was a gorgeous conversation that we had with that one. Just looking at the big picture and how it all fits together.
Yeah. And eight was integrate, don't segregate, which is really about working together and not separating things, not in our garden and not in life, letting it all be together.
Mm-hmm. Small, slow solutions. One that I'm still to this day and probably will forevermore continue working on, but just taking that small step, that next best thing that just makes us 1%, and better isn't quite the word, but 1% more in alignment with the truth of who we are.
Using and value diversity is number 10. And this is, there are many plants, there are many views, there are many opinions, there are multiple solutions, and be open to all of them, because there's richness in all points of view.
Mm-hmm. Number 11, use the edges and value the margins. Our conversation about transitions in life, that transition point and seeing the beauty in there. And, you know, if we can loop that one back to obtaining a yield or catching and storing energy, like in those transitions, how is this supporting me?
Mm-hmm. Creatively use and respond to change. Wow.
Mm.
This is about envisioning possibilities. And I love from the conversation with Maureen Hagen, I'm possible, mm-hmm, instead of impossible. So use these shifts that may be beyond our control or influence, and use them creatively and understand that everything changes.
Yeah. Now, these principles are things that we're going to keep exploring for the rest of our lives. I know I am anyway. And what I love that you said in our episode 12, when you and I were having a conversation, was from creatively use and respond to change, we go right back to the top with observe and interact. And it's like that cycle continues. It's never ending. You know, the journey of going through these 12 principles one by one, I don't know, it was just super fun for me. I had such a blast. But not only just the principles itself, just the experience with you. I gotta say, it's been a wild ride. But do you have any any moments of our time with our episodes, anything that sticks out in your head, like what's the funniest moment that you've had?
Oh gosh. I think the funniest moment is from episode 6, Produce No Waste, in our, in our human era revelation where, and maybe you're going to add in the clip because it is hilarious. Look, I don't make this stuff up. There is the human era handbook, which talks about incorporating our, the waste that we produce into our own system.
Okay. I'm going to need some time for that. I don't know if I'm there yet. Actually, well, okay, I'm going to start going into outer space. That would, if I was, I'm pretty sure if I was using my poop to fertilize my garden, I would be that much more likely to eat healthy, because I know if I poop out a Twix bar, I don't want that to then fuel my tomatoes. Do you know what I mean?
I totally know what you mean. You didn't want to poop out a Twix bar to fertilize your garden. So that was my funniest moment.
I'm not there yet. Still to this moment. But yeah, I'd have to say that was one of the funniest moments. Because on my end, that was like a shock. Like, huh? But again, if we loop it back to that principle itself and reframing our mindset around waste, mm-hmm. it totally makes sense.
Yeah. And it's also reinforcing those harmonious connections and look at how everything interacts with everything else and everything affects everything else. So mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about your biggest aha moment?
I think that one came in episode 11, where we were talking about use the edges and value the margins. And we were talking about soil as being a margin for earth and the atmosphere. And then you expanded on the heart chakra, and that this was a margin between the lower and the upper chakras. And then I had the, oh my God, this human experience is the margin. This is where the richness is. We are animal and we are divine. And this is where the growth is happening. So that was kind of an aha moment, that was like soil to chakras from your perspective. And then that was where the aha moment came in. I was like, wow, this is rich.
Oh, I love that. I can't remember what episode it was, but and this one sort of was a revelation over time. But when you had talked about how in permaculture, we look at soil as om, or organic matter, and the whole idea is to where our focus is growing soil. And then I somehow, in another conversation, something had come up, but the aha for me was where resistance, we look at, you know, resistance in life, that thing that we have to push against. And if you think about the seed, you know, it's got a first, whatever's in the seed needs to push against the shell to crack to then get into the soil. And then it's got to push against the soil to get to the light. And then seeing that soil as the very thing that nourishes us. So that resistance becomes the thing that nourishes us to keep us thriving. That was a big aha for me. And just even like stripping that part, the fact that you said, you know, we're growing soil. I never even thought of the soil yeah. when planting things.
Yeah.
Right? So yeah. that was a huge aha.
Yeah. For me. And that's the catch and store energy. We sometimes don't think that soil is storing that energy. Mm-hmm. Was there anything that challenged you? What most challenged you?
This is a very good question. You know, I think there was a lot of these principles that made me sort of pause and reframe the way I looked at a lot of stuff. And as I mentioned earlier, the idea of obtain a yield, how that sort of was like a challenge for me, because at initial glance, when I applied it to relationships, I thought, oh, so then am I have to think, what am I getting out of these relationships when I spent so much time in my life not trying not to do that or unlearning that? It makes me think, not what can I get out of this, but I look at it more as like, who can I be in this relationship that can get all of us here the most out of this relationship? Yeah. And so that was, again, the challenge for me was like, ugh, but then leaning into it and, you know, going to, you know, some of our other principles of just shifting our mindset around what a yield is.
I think my most challenging moment is in produce no waste. I find myself overwhelmed at the amount of waste that gets produced. And I get a bit triggered because I'll say it's needless waste, some of it, a lot of the time. The impact on the planet is widely known, and there are so many alternatives. And I sometimes get challenged by this because and I'm not perfect. So by no means I produce zero waste. There's still some that I'm producing. I look at this and just think, oh, like, what are we doing? And I think specifically when it comes to bottled water, there's not a need for that. And there's the whole cycle of what is it doing, not only in terms of the plastic, but taking the water and then bottling it and selling it. And there's so much around it. And I think that's what challenged me most, because at least I feel, you know, quite unsettled by that.
Wow. Thank you for that reflection.
Yeah. And let's leave on a high note.
Yeah.
Where are we going from here? Because this isn't the end.
This is not the end. Because every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end, right?
Absolutely. Those cycles of creation, there's the birth, there's the sustaining phase. And then, like we learned, creatively use and respond to change. There's always that transformation. Everything is dynamic.
Mm-hmm. So, and actually this little pause that we're taking between season one and season two isn't so much a pause as it is a margin, and there is richness in that margin. So Thrivers, this could be a beautiful time for you. And I don't want to tell you how to live your life, but just to maybe offer something, this could be a great opportunity to go back and reflect on your own work and maybe listen to one of the episodes where maybe you found that you were challenged most, and maybe listen to the episode with a new set of ears and see what comes up, or do that with any random episode. Because while you're doing that, Catherine and I will be using our margin to come up with some other things. Should we share it? What do you think?
Maybe a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, just a little peek. Like, we've been talking about workshops, and we've been talking mm-hmm. about retreats, and we've mm-hmm. been talking about some online programming.
Yeah.
And we don't want to give away too much.
Nope.
Because we're in the fertile void right now in that cycle of creation. And so we're having this moment to hear the guidance of spirit and be spirit led. So lots mm-hmm. to come.
Yeah, there is lots to come. One of the things that I love, Catherine, is that you and I intentionally scheduled, I guess, for lack of a better word, this moment of rest. Because just as we give our soil rest as the season turns to winter and, you know, everything sort of goes dormant for a moment, to do the inner work so that when we come back with the new seeds that we've planted, there will be plenty of nourishment in that organic matter to create something that will allow all of us to thrive.
The Living Spiritfully Collective group is still there. There's still a chance to interact. So share your stories, your discoveries, what you're doing, your pictures. We love seeing all of that. And remember, we're meant to thrive. How will you come alive?
Come Alive, the Living Spiritfully Guide to Thriving, is a regenerative living production in association with Pollerin Studios and The Elementals. Hey! Executive producer, Catherine Stilo. co-producer and sound engineer, Paul Galoro. Inspired by and dedicated to Mother Earth, our biointelligence and the spirit that moves through all things. A big thank you and much love to you, our community, for subscribing to and sharing this podcast.